Wow. Well, this is, man, a lot of kids here. There is a lot of kids here. And there's a lot, tomorrow. Yeah, it was interesting. It's the only time out of the year that Band of Brothers doesn't meet. It's for Vacation Bible School. And it's one of those great moments to watch. I didn't grow up in Christianity. I did not grow up with it singing anything. Songs I sang did not, they didn't sound the same as that. we're going to start on two kingdoms. This is just part one. And I wanted you to understand it, a little bit about it. Because when the Word of God talks about who we are in Christ, it's almost, even in Christianity in America, we've become politically correct within the church. We don't want to say anything that might offend anybody. So today, I want you to know that some of you will be offended. God has given me that gift. Okay? I'm going to use His Word to do that for you. But it's not to offend you. It's not to condemn you. It's so that we have a wake-up call in where we are. The last time I was up here, I think I was in my Marine Corps uniform, and I was preaching on love. I wish I could have finished that. I'm not going to finish that today. But I want to tell you about that love. I want to tell you a little bit in Corinthians when we were doing that last time. And when it talked about love never fails, but it says, love does not delight in evil. You have to know that God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. But He does not delight in evil. He does not. In fact, He has a wrath on evil. He does not have a wrath on you. He sent His Son into the world not to condemn the world, but to save the world from their evil. There is a goal coming here, and one day death and hell and all of it will be cast into a lake of fire. But He comes here so that we won't participate in that. And there is absolutely just two kingdoms. And so I look at this, and he says, love always, it rejoices with the truth. Christ said, I am the truth, I am the way, I am the life. He rejoices with the truth. The love always protects. That's why Paul is going to say in Romans 8, if we ever had a chance to get there, well, our Band of Brothers will get there in about a year, and I look at it, and I think, when you get there, all of a sudden, now he declares, there is nothing that can separate me from the love of God. Nothing. I know who I am. I know exactly who I am in Christ. I know what Christ has done for me. I know the nature I was born with and the nature I have today. And they're completely different. And then he goes, not only does love always protect, it always trusts. What does that mean? The love of God always trusts in me. What? Gus, I have no condemnation for you. I love you. You're in my Son. My Son is in you. You are in me. My righteousness is in you and it is in me. I always trust you. Boy, I'm telling you, it's a brand new nature. This is why I think that the joy of the Lord becomes our strength. And that it always hopes. Doesn't that sound like faith? What is faith? It's sure, it's hopeful, and it is certain. It always. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and your strength is the greatest of all opportunities. There is no one like the Lord. It's not going after something. I'm not trying to have Him give me something. I'm not looking for improvement in my life. I'm looking for a brand new life. I want something so radical that it cannot be declared as I worked it out. I want God and God alone. And whatever God is, He's not like me. He's not some old man sitting up there. Oh, I had to talk with a guy the other day. He says, yeah, I've talked with the old man up there. And I said, I don't know what dude you're talking to, but you're going to be really shocked when you meet him. You're going to find out he's not some old man at all. And then love always perseveres. In other words, it's going to go on. But I want to give you in the beginning of this before we actually get into our text. And I'll tell you, if you want to turn there to get ready, we're going to be in Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 17 over the next 2 weeks. And it talks about the two kingdoms. We're going to do this is a very short study. I've been dealing, not really with this, I put these messages together this last week because they're just in my soul. I can't get this thing out of me. But I've been talking to the Band of Brothers about in Romans 5 now for about 2 months. I just am overwhelmed with God in through this thing. So the short study of two kingdoms. One is headed by Adam. The other is headed by Jesus the Christ. There's only two. There's no middle ground. You're either in the kingdom of Adam or you are in the kingdom of Christ. And you need to know which one you're in. By the way, it's not by a prayer. It's by a life. You will know. In fact, it's an interesting journey that it is the Apostle Paul that says to a church, this is not politically correct in our time at all. We want to assure everybody you're saved. I don't assure anybody they're saved. I don't know if you're saved. Only you know you're saved. Only you and God would know this. But the one thing I can identify is what comes out of your mouth and attitudes and things. But listen to this. Paul says to the church in Corinth in 2 Corinthians 13, examine yourselves to the church. Can you imagine someone walking into a church today and saying, examine yourselves, test yourselves. Do you not know that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you fail the test. In America, we don't even know what the test is. And what's interesting about Paul, he says right after that, and I trust that you will discover that we did not fail the test. Isn't that an amazing thing? So to the church, and I want to say that to the church today, we need to examine ourselves. You know, what Adam did led to certain results for his people. And we'll see that today. It just led to certain results. I mean, what he did and where he came from and how he did it. What Jesus did also leads to certain results in his sons and daughters. It just does. The Holy Spirit cannot sit in a corner doing nothing. He's alive. And if he's in a man, if he's in a woman, he will show himself. I mean, he does not go into the corner and hide away. I could tell so many stories about my life when there was a time in my life I chose. I did not want to live for Christ. Did I know him? Yes, I did. I knew him. And I could feel his presence and I told him, get off my back. Leave me alone. My best friend Larry was killed. And I was so angry that he couldn't even keep Larry alive. He got killed 16 days after he got in Vietnam, and I so wanted to go to war, and he didn't. And I told him, don't worry about it. The last time I saw Larry, he was getting on an airplane, and I said, Larry, just go over there and kick butt, and I'll see you in 13 months, because Jesus Christ is with you. I saw him come to know Christ. I read to him the Gospel of John over and over and over again while I was in the Marine Corps, and we were best friends, went to radio school, and man, he got the Gospel of John down, and he came to Christ. Not only that, he got baptized right before he left. I thought, oh, now he's sealed. He's done. I didn't know anything. And then he got killed, and I was so angry. I did not understand, like these kids were saying. I didn't understand. I didn't know what to do. I still wasn't in a church. And I was so angry at God. And I would tell him, leave me alone. Get off my back. And he didn't listen to me at all. Didn't pay any attention to what I was saying. And then I would choose to go get drunk. I chose to go get drunk. I did it on purpose to go get drunk. I didn't just have a beer. I went to go to the NCO club for the purpose of getting drunk. And every time I did, my friends would say, what in the world is with it? I'm in Vietnam now. I'm killing people. I'm in the war. I'm where I want to be. And all my friends said, I said, what? And I said, man, what did we do last night? He says, what is it with you? Every single time you get drunk, you start talking about some Gospel of John. And I thought, oh, Father. Listen, we've all been in a hard place that we don't understand. We've all been in a place that we've been angry and we've acted more like idiots. But let me tell you what, His love always perseveres. And I want you to know something, but if you don't know what the kingdom of Adam is, you may end up saying some kind of thing. You may think that you're saved by going to church or saying some religious thing and never know Him. That's why I was telling Shelly, I'm very concerned over our time when many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, and they decry how hard they worked. And their nature was never impacted. They stayed with the nature of Adam. And how do you know that? Because he said, I never knew you, you who continued in your sin. Wow. See, when you think of Adam and you think of Christ, God has dealt with mankind in what I call it a federal way. And by that, what I mean is that Adam is the federal head of all of mankind, and Jesus the Christ is the federal head of those who have received grace through faith. And there's two different natures. What I mean is they're representatives. When you think of 1 Corinthians 15:22, for as in Adam all die. What are you talking about? If you're in Adam, all die. So in Christ, all will be made alive. So in Christ, that's why he calls it eternal life. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. And the last Adam, Christ, a life-giving spirit. We have two kingdoms. There's only two. And somehow we're getting so messed up in our world that we don't even understand the truth anymore. Two kingdoms only, reigning at the same time. One is sin, reigning in death. The other is grace, reigning in righteousness. So let's look at our text this morning. It's a wonderful. I just get fired up over this stuff because I'm thinking, I know what this is. Now, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man. Listen to these words. Sin entered the world. It wasn't here. It entered the world through one man. And death through sin. And this, in this way, death came to all men because all sinned. For before the law was given, sin was in the world. But sin was not taken into account when there is no law. And we'll see what that really means, that men and women didn't even know they were sin. I mean, what is sin? There is no law. There's nothing to tell you right or wrong. The only thing they'd ever known, if they had any history at all, was the story of Adam and Eve. That had maybe gone down. There was nothing written. There was no one telling them what's right, what's wrong. But death was still here. And so, nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who was the pattern of the one to come. And then here we go. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came, and it's important, we'll look at that, this is all next week, but the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many. Again, the gift of God is not like the result of the one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation. Now notice what it brought. It's important for us to know what it brought immediately. It brought condemnation. When Adam sinned, condemnation arrived right on the scene immediately. Even for Adam and Eve, they condemned each other. We'll see that in a moment. But the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification, the freedom from condemnation. For if by the trespass of the one man, Adam, death reigned through the one man, how much more, and here it is, how much more will those who receive, here's the difference is, who receive God's abundant provision of grace, and there, here it comes back to the gift, and the gift of righteousness. Notice this. We will all stay in Adam. You must receive the grace and righteousness of God, or you're in Adam, which means you're always struggling with you. You're always in a fight. You're fighting with somebody. You have a critical spirit all the time. You can't get over it. You're thinking you're talking of Jesus, but you're trying to do a self-improvement program, and it doesn't work. How much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? We'll look at that in a little. Next week a little bit, I'll do it in here too, not to leave you in a desperate place, but although it's kind of fun to live in a desperate place, because when you get saved, when you know salvation, I'm going to tell you what, there's a joy that's so unpredictable. You cannot contain yourself. Your condemnation leaves the room from other people. You don't blame your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, no more. You don't go to a church and start complaining about the sound of a music. You don't do that anymore. You can't find it. Do you think Jesus Christ would walk into this room or walk into any church and say, oh, I hate that music? When someone says, I'm playing this music to the glory of God? No. See, there's a new nature to be had. Now, let's take us back to Adam. Then God said, let us make man in our image and the likeness in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and the livestock, over all the earth and over the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man. In his own image. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Now think of this. You and I do not know what that is. We do not know yet. We will at the resurrection, when we are completely redeemed in the image of God. But you've got a man right now, Adam. You got a man. Eve is now created in the same image of God. They're created. There is no sin. They know things we know not of. There is an image. I mean, animals are presented to Adam, and God simply says, I've given you sovereignty over the whole creation. Whatever. I'll bring the animal by. Name it. It's the name. You tell it the name. We don't even have that much knowledge to name the animals now that they've all been named. We can see birds and different animals and come by today, and we don't have a clue. But he could. That was a different deal. He understood because he was made in the image of God. Someone said, how do they understand death when there was no death? Because he was made in the image of God. What he did not do was participate in evil. Remember when he said, in the day that you can, all of this is yours, but in the day you eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will be dead. Death will come in. It'll come into your home. Adam was made perfectly in the image of God. And now look at our scripture. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, it entered. It wasn't here. The creation is here. It was not here. It came in. It came in. It was not present. It came in to conquer. It came in to invade. It is the complete opposite of all that God would be. And it came here for a purpose. Sin came in as a sovereign. It wanted to conquer the creation. It wanted to conquer God's creation and turn it into its sovereign. Therefore, the effects of Adam's sin, because he was sovereign, were transmitted to his children, which were transmitted to the creation. And that's why it says the creation is groaning even now, waiting for the redemption of the sons of God. Why is this creation groaning? It was never intended to die. It was never intended all this. But death is here. And death is Lucifer sovereign. Adam was the cause of sin, and yet he was in the likeness of God. He was made in the likeness, in the very image of the Lord. Now you see the importance of Christ coming. The second Adam. That's why he was like the one that was going to come. He's the pre. And when Christ comes, he also has to be tempted. He is now God, incarnate, in the flesh, but he has to be in the flesh to confront sin for what it is and confront its sovereign. So sin entered the world. Here we have sin represented as coming wherever it was outside the creation. It came into the world of humanity. This also reveals that sin existed before Adam ever was. Sin invaded and became the conqueror, and it wanted to conquer. It's hostile. Whatever sin is in all of its form, it's hostile towards God. It is always hostile. It is a kingdom of darkness. There is an evil there and a despair and a hopelessness and a depression beyond your mass conception. And whatever God is, sin was going to be the opposite. Lucifer is going to create something so opposite, and he creates a sovereign that God can't come into, and it's called death. And he even thought, if I could ever have God in a human form, I could even hold, my sovereign could hold God in a human body. I can take him into a kingdom he never could have imagined. That's what this is. That's the magnificence of our salvation. The principles of the man made in the image of God became sinful. With a sinful disposition, it's corruption of the nature of all of mankind. You and I were made in the image of Adam. He was made in the image of God. We were made in the image of, and how do you know that? All you have to do is get married and have a baby. I mean, have a baby. And all we know is they're one. We believe when they are born, they are beautiful and wonderful. But as they get older and express themselves, wow, I just don't even know what to say. I used to tell, when our kids were small, I thanked God so much that I was not a mother. I was trying to work out being a father, let alone being a mother. But I thought, when you see a little boy go into a grocery store with mom, and she's trying to, maybe she's got a baby, and she's got the little boy, and she's trying to go to the grocery store, it's dad's probably at work, and all of a sudden little Johnny throws a fit right in the middle of the store and hits the deck. And mom's looking in the generation we live in. Now, the generation I lived in, it was easier to handle Johnny's fit in the store. Everyone helps spank little Johnny into a correction. Today, little Johnny's down there, and Mom is in a controversy. She doesn't know what to do. She's trying to pick up little Johnny's fifth thorn. He doesn't give a rip about Mom. Does he care you're standing there? Not at all. Sin doesn't give a rip how you feel. It doesn't care how nasty it is. Its point is complete selfishness. It's all about me. Pride and contempt about me. That is Lucifer's kingdom. For out of the heart, self reveals its general conduct. Out of the heart, evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander, they come out of the heart. What do you mean? I'm born with them. They're there. And it's waiting to express. And when the law would come, it gave more opportunity for sin to express. Why? It is in a complete rebellion in the opposite of anything that could be godly at all. God says never slander. Well, I'm going to anyway. You think that? You're not telling me what to do. There is no condemnation. Well, you want to bet? I can condemn you. And God can't stop me. If He's God, let Him try to stop me now. I love that story about D.L. Moody. Do you remember that story about D.L. Moody? He was coming back. He'd been overseas in England. He was coming back and down Chicago, and some dude was in the park and preaching against Christ and all that. And all of a sudden he got up on this stump and says, let me tell you what, there's a God telling him to knock me off this stump right now. D.L. Moody walked over there and just pow-ed him right off that stump. I love that story about D.L. Moody. I thought, that's my kind of man. That's evangelism. Okay? And he simply said, why ask God to do something His servant can do with ease? Oh, well, you need a wake-up call today. I'm telling you, sin brought with it guilt. Sin brings condemnation. You don't like yourself. You're struggling. And because you don't like you, you criticize and slander. It brings every kind of sexual immorality, everything that is wrong. Taking the beautiful gift that God meant for a husband and a wife, a beautiful gift that gives glory to Him and joy to them, and perverts it in every form. That's sin. And the damnation always follows it. Divorces follow. Disease follows. So we're always trying to fix it. We're always there. We don't understand. There's two kingdoms. I've got one in Adam and I got one in Christ. There is no other. So you look at what it did, and sin will not believe God no matter what happens. I will not. I will not. I will not. Death reigned through sin. All that death conveys to the mind entered into the world of sin because of men were born in the image of Adam. All sin, and therefore death, extended over all. And it's over everything. Nobody wants to die. You don't even feel like you're going to die. I do funerals all the time with a Marine Corps League, so I'm into my blues, and we're doing other, and I haven't been to one that anyone's happy. Every time I present that flag, or one of our other guys gets down and we kneel down and present the flag after we fold it, everyone bursts into tears. Every one of us, death is coming to our, it's coming. There isn't anything on the planet that wants to die. I tell you, you may not like cockroaches, but cockroaches like each other. And a cockroach is trying to crawl across the floor and you're going like this. That dude is going every which way he can. Why? He doesn't want to die. You go to swat a fly? What's he doing? I'm out of here. I mean, I don't want to die. Everything, there isn't anything that wants to die. The creation was created by God in a different condition. It was eternal. But sin came in and conquered the creation. Conquered Adam, made in the image of God. Conquered him. And death has reigned ever since. Death is the evidence that sin exists. For before the law, it says, that is before the Mosaic law, Jews and Gentiles, no matter, it didn't matter, Jew or Gentile, you had a law of reason and you had a law of conscience. Since what had been known by God, God had made plain to them. Since what may be known, God made it plain. He didn't leave us without it, because God made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen by and being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. There is no excuse. I look at it and say, I don't believe in hell. Well, as I've said to that man a long time ago, that's not going to change diddly squat when you get there. You think because you tell God, I don't believe. Great. Who's suffering? How's it helping your life? How's that working for you? How's all that vulgar swearing and all that immorality and that porno working for you? How about all those different women or men or whatever you're doing? How's that working for you? And no wonder Christ says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Sin is so damned their nature they can't see. And if God doesn't raise you from the dead and give you an ability by faith to receive His grace, His gift of grace and His gift of righteousness, you remain in a kingdom that is always dark. It's not gray, it's dark. And it takes you to such depressions and heartache and no joy in it. There is no joy at all. But sin is not taken into account when there is no law. Though sin was not taken into account. In other words, you couldn't say, well, where did it say, what is sexual immorality? Anyway, there was no law, so they were doing everything. And that's in the days of Noah, when God said, it just grieves me that I even made man. It just grieves me. You leave them alone, you don't even give them another command. Don't give them anything. And they get worse, and they get more rebellious, and they do ungodly, grotesque things to themselves. So you begin to look at this, and you... For in the act of Adam, sin and death had been inseparably and forever joined. Lucifer is his name. He was an archangel. Apparently there was three, Lucifer, Gabriel, and Michael. It does appear that Michael is stronger than Lucifer, as far as strength or magnificence or whatever, because in the end, when this is over, and this isn't a joke, it will be over, Michael will grab Lucifer, and he will chain that dude for 1,000 years. And that will happen on this earth. This earth that has been turned into sin, and Christ will rule on this earth for 1,000 years. When that is over, a judgment is going to take place, and it's going to be that hell and death will be thrown into a lake of fire, where it can be tormented day and night forever. Then God will roll up the heavens like a scroll and create a new heaven and a new earth where sin will never dwell. This is not a joke. All you have to do, go anywhere on the planet. Mike's on the other side of the world today. On the other side of the world. And sin dwells there. It's still there. Lucifer. We call him Satan. Created his own kingdom. And his kingdom was that of darkness. It's the perversion of all that God has ever created and all that God is. It is a perversion of anything that would be of God. Anything. And he created a sovereign in it. Something that would be so sovereign, so powerful, that if it could come into a kingdom, if it could come, nothing can stop it. And it's death. It's sovereign. I don't know what it is. I don't know how it works. I know this. I know because the Lord said, I will take death and throw it into a lake of fire. But it's real. And it's going to come to us. And I look at this, and James says, temptation has come from our own desires. Well, naturally, I'm the son of Adam, which entice us and drag us along away. These desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it bursts death. Wow. Nevertheless, death reigned over those who did not sin by breaking the command, as did Adam. Death reigned. The word reigned, it's an interesting Greek word. It's a royal word for a king. It means the king's word is sovereign. Whatever the king said, that's the way it is. You don't get to vote. You don't get an opinion. Whatever the king said is the way it is. And he said death reigned as the ultimate sovereign. That's why you have to understand the magnificence of Christ. It isn't this. He died that he rose again. We're going to talk about that, Lord willing, next week. And it's magnificent. It's absolute. When I experienced Christ in my life, I already knew what death was. But when I experienced Christ, I was magnificently changed. See, death becomes a controller of all things. It doesn't matter if it's a tree, a bug, a bird. It doesn't matter. And yet God says, I'll tell you this. I'm so aware and I'm so in love with you that I want you to know I have the hairs of your head counted. I'm so in love with you, and I so do not want you to go to hell. I so do not want you to suffer with Adam's sin. I do not want Lucifer's kingdom to reign in you. And I'm not removing sin away from you. I'm removing its power from you. You have a choice today. I'm going to give this to you in my Son. And that's why when you have a communion service, I declare the Lord's death until He comes. Why? I declare He died for me. I declare that death is coming, but I'm going to find out it doesn't have any impact on me at all. See, those, you look at, between Adam and Moses, there were no direct commands. Nevertheless, the whole race was dying. They all died. Everybody died. This is what they do. So what are we going to do? Hebrews says, sin is self-willed, and it will not live by faith. What do you mean? I will not believe God. I will not. Why won't I? I don't know, but I won't. Well, it's the nature of sin. I will not believe God. That's what sin did. It entices. It lies. If it opens its mouth, remember what the Scripture says about Lucifer? If he opens his mouth, what does he do? He's speaking a lie. If he opens his mouth, he's telling you a lie. He's already on the spin. He's on the spin right away. How many of us have learned his nature? How many of us have? All. We spin. When we were little kids, who taught you to lie? Who taught you to spin the truth? To this very day, it's one of the hardest things we do. James says if you could ever get your tongue controlled, man, you won the battle. You just win the battle. It's just our mouth. How many times in Jesus' name have you get into an argument? How many times do we fight with one another? We curse one another. Listen, faith is the opposite. If something takes place in a wonderful thing, you've got a kingdom that is so dark and it's born this way, and we're struggling with it. But if I understand, and when we get into the kingdom of Christ, you have to understand, it is more powerful. There is nothing greater than the grace of God. There is nothing more powerful than the grace of God. And by the way, there is no condemnation in it. There's no record keeping. God does not, in His kingdom, keep a record of your failures or mine. And by the way, we will have them along the journey. Every so often, we're just gonna have some opportunities to experience that gnawing nature again. And that's why it says we've been called to freedom in Galatians. We've been called to freedom. Your brother and sister, you've been called to freedom, but don't use your freedom for an opportunity to indulge your sinful nature. And the Christian man and woman, I'm so tired of hearing, oh, the church is a hospital. It is not a hospital. A hospital is for the sick. Listen, the church isn't a morgue either. It's not for the dead. The church is for the living sons and daughters of God. They declare, Christ and Christ alone save me. I am on a new adventure. I never knew this kind of love. I never knew this kind of forgiveness. I never knew what it was like to be so. Every morning I wake up and I can't contain the joy. It's almost nauseating. For without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone that comes to God must believe that He exists and He is the rewarder of those who earnestly, earnestly seek Him. And Adam, who was a pattern of the one to come, Adam is the type of Christ in holding a relation to those affected by His headship. We have the kingdom of Adam, we have the kingdom of Christ. You have to ask, where are you and what kingdom do you want to be in? Where are you? Where have you been all this time? Examine yourself. Test yourself. Do you not know this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? What kingdom is in you? You shall not inherit the kingdom of God. He goes on about the kingdom of the ungodly. Do you not know? Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom? Do you not know this? There's only two kingdoms. Do you not know that you will not, the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not deceive yourselves. Neither the sexually immoral, the idolaters, the adulterers. Nor the swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And then he goes, and that's what some of you were. That's me. Some of you were. What do you mean? I entered into a new kingdom. I took God at His word. I couldn't imagine the magnificence of all this. You've been washed. You've been sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. So here it is. Jesus the Christ is the head of those who receive grace and faith. Adam is the head of the human race in the sense that he was a pattern of the one to come. So, a quick application. We have two kingdoms reigning. In our world, we have two. And one of them reigns in absolute condemnation and ridicule. It is so sad. It is so sad. It is so depressed. Where do you think heroin addiction comes from? Where do we think this comes from? We got 52,000 people dying a year in America from overdoses. Where do murders come from? Where does all this violence and this slander, where does it come from? Does it help anyone? Where do gangs come from? Adam, the kingdom of darkness. Where do the divorces and heartaches come from? So, if Christ would come, if you would receive Christ, He says, I promise you a new kingdom, one of righteousness, peace, and joy in my spirit. I promise. That's what it is. It can't be anything else. And you will learn. As you learn growing up from a baby, we don't remember being born. Thank God. That would have been a spooky moment. Yola bole. I thought this was life. Woo! You know? What's that? Okay? When you come to Christ, the kingdom starts growing in you. And then as you get older, if you're allowed to live to be older in it, it becomes so magnificent. See, we have two kingdoms. One reigning in sin and death, condemnation. The other in reigning in righteousness. It's the second kingdom I'll do next week, but I want to give you a preview. How much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign? It means they live victorious in the joy of the Lord. It doesn't mean they're just, every time they get hurt, they have a smile on their face. Oh, that was fun. I slapped my thumb. I've just smashed it up. I got a broken leg. Wow, I'm having fun. It isn't that kind of joy. It is a joy that is uncontainable for having set free from an old nature. And so when I do sin, and I have done that in quite a few opportunities during my journey in Christ, I get the joy of repentance because I have no condemnation. That is so not my nature anymore. Yet there I am because it's still in me. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of God's grace, we will understand the Holy Spirit, what He meant. Where, O death, now? Where, O death, now is your sting? Where, O death? Where? Where's your victory? Where? Where's the victory? You have none in me. You have nothing on me. In fact, God is taking you now, and I'll talk about what happened and how that happened next week, but where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The sting of death is sin. What terrifies you, death comes in the terror, the overwhelming, and I have to remember the one time, only one time in my life when death came to a man and he would not receive Christ. He told me he would rather go to hell. I would rather go to... I said, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're saying. And on his deathbed, this is what's happening. He's taking his last breath and screaming at the top of his lungs, help me, help me, I'm falling. I have no idea what he saw. And I don't even know where he went, because I can say hell and I don't know what it is. But I'm going to tell you what, he didn't like what was about taking place in his moment of existence. And when he said he wanted to go there, all of a sudden he didn't. He was screaming for help and he was calling to the wrong person. The sting of death is sin. The power of death is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory in Christ Jesus. Amen? He gives us the victory. Portia, that was your victory. It was such a blessing baptizing you. And I look at that and I said, you gave a great testimony. Look what Christ has done in you. You were a daughter of Adam. Today, new way. This is the daughter of the Most High, Jesus the Christ. Our band's going to come up and lead us in a song. Amen? And I want to give you an opportunity. We're going to sing a beautiful song. And Lord willing...